I kept having this dream over and over. At first, it was like kind of fuzzy. And then by the third time I had it, it was very vivid. So I'm like, I'm not going to tell him about this dream. He's going to freak out. Like, I'm freaking out. And then my best friend was just like, it's just a dream. What's the big deal?
I'm Andrea Gunning.
And I'm Ben Fetterman.
And you're listening to Dating Diaries, Questions and Confessions.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Dre, this is it. Our final episode of season two. How are you feeling?
I'm a little bummed. Like, I feel at the end of every season, we've heard so many great stories, and I just love how open everyone has been. I'm obsessed with our stopover squad.
I completely agree. And even though we're going to be on hiatus, we still want to hear from you guys. But we'll get into that a little bit more after the episode.
Chanel works in retail in a big city. She hadn't put much effort into dating apps until recently, but she connected with a guy and they took their time before meeting in person.
We met on Hinge and we talked for a while, actually, almost a month of just like talking on the phone or like texting before we had our first real date. And the first date actually was really great. It was a thoughtful date. We went to a park that's close by and it was like by the water. Then we got to know each other a little bit better.
She was pleasantly surprised and really liked what she was seeing.
It was really easy to talk to him. He seemed like a really good person. He was a social worker, so he talked a lot about helping people. He was a dad. His daughter was also close in age to my daughter, so we shared that in common. And he talked a lot about like family and like spending Sundays with family and having dinners. That was something that's important to me. So we had a lot of like common interests.
The dates continued. And after 2 months, Chanel's feelings for him were strong.
We went on a series of dates quickly following that. I would say like 2 times a week. Sometimes we would just go by the water, watch the sunset, grab a drink at like an outside bar or something. So by June, I really felt like I liked him a lot. And I expressed that. He said, I really do enjoy the time we're spending together. I have feelings too, but I'm not used to having feelings this fast.
There was something on her mind, though. She was having a reoccurring dream with him in it, and she battled with whether or not she should tell him. And we can understand why.
At first, I was like, I'm not going to tell him about this dream. Like, I just don't even want to do it. And then my best friend was just like, it's just a dream. What's the big deal? But I'm just like, but it seems so real. The dream was him proposing. At first, it was like kind of fuzzy. And then by the third time I had it, it was very vivid. I could hear him saying it. I could see the ring box. I could see the inside of the ring box, like the color that he was wearing, what I was wearing. So it was like a really vivid dream. And it was scary to me because I'm like, I don't even want this. But I kept having that same dream over and over. I didn't want to tell him at first. So I was just like, he's going to freak out. Like, I'm freaking out.
You can imagine how that went.
So I remember like telling him about the dream and he was like, I gotta go. Something happened. I got this really weird email about my Chase account. And I was like, what? And then he texted me the next day and he was kind of just like, you know, I feel like this is going way too fast. I'm not ready for this. And I just feel like we shouldn't continue this because I'm just not ready. And I'm just like, okay, probably shouldn't have told him. But I also felt like, you know what? I was honest. I felt like I didn't do the wrong thing by telling him. But, you know, hindsight is always 20/20.
Chanel was disappointed with his reaction, but not completely surprised. She was trying to move on, but then he came back for a second chance.
We stopped speaking for about a week. I was planning like a birthday trip with a couple of my friends, not a large group, and we were all going to spend time eating, drinking, like having fun. My best friend had a list of people that were going, and originally he was on the list, but my best friend never changed the list. So he sent the group text out and it included him. He texted happy birthday and then we started communication. He was like, listen, I miss our time together. Let's try again. And I was hesitant because I was like, I don't know, but I still have feelings for him.
It was a battle between her head and her heart. She followed the ladder.
He said, you want to have a movie night? And I'm just like, I don't know about this. But I haven't seen him in so long and I want to see him. So he comes over, we have the movie night and he stays over. And then the next morning, again, it's like this non-communication. And I'm just like, I was fine. I was peaceful. Like, why would you disturb my peace? And I knew that that would hurt him because he's always saying, I value people's peace and I value respect. And so I know I said that to get under his skin, but I felt like annoyed.
I can't say I blame her. Chanel had enough of the games, but she also wanted to take the high road.
I texted him the next day, but it wouldn't go through. And then I realized I got blocked. And I was like, wow, he's really upset. And I messaged him through a friend's phone. And I was like, I want to be the bigger person. I want to apologize. I don't think that you're a bad person. We didn't work out and that's okay. But I don't want to have any bad feelings, you know? He texts back and he was just like, that really upset me when you said that. You know, I value people's peace. And I was like, I know, I get it. I apologize. I shouldn't have said it. I didn't really want to have more conversation about it because I did feel like he was baiting me to say something. I was like, I'm not going to do it.
So Chanel meets her dream guy, is what we'll call him. And meet in person goes really well. Things start heating up.
Well, I also think they have a ton in common, right? They both have kids. Family's very important. So they're connecting on a lot of levels of what they have in their lives. And so, yeah, like we've heard during this pandemic, things heat up in a flash. And then she starts to have some dreams.
Ben, I need a gut check here. What is worse, being grateful for someone and putting it on your whiteboard after 2 months or telling the person that you're seeing about your dream proposal?
If I had someone who I was seeing within a 2 month period say, I had this dream about our proposal and this is how it went down, I'd have a lot of trouble seeing how that relationship would continue because I'd constantly be thinking about there's this expectation set and we're moving towards it in perpetuity until the engagement happens. It puts the other person in a really tough place of where your energy is going in this relationship. To be able to describe a dream where you know the color of the ring box, it's a big red flag for me. I'm sorry. I don't know how else to say it.
She said she was freaked out by the dream, but if you're freaked out by the dream, then the person who's also in the dream is going to be freaked out by it.
Of course, you have to go with your gut. If you're having that feeling, don't listen to your friend who, by the way, I'm not sure you should be friends with her anymore because that advice was wonky.
Chanel, you live and you learn, right? It was an intense thing to say to somebody. I appreciate that you acknowledged it. It is what it is. You can't put the shit back in the goose, as they say, but I just wouldn't have made the same decision. So then she's at peace with it. She's like, all right, fine. Like moving on, doing her thing. And then he hits her with a booty call. That is 100% a booty call. He didn't even like suggest like a casual date to catch up. It was a quiet movie night. You know what that means. And then he sleeps over, which is clearly what he wanted. But then they kind of get into it and she kind of gives him a dig, probably to gauge his reaction, to get any information of how he's feeling as opposed to just being direct.
I think he hurt her and this was her way to hurt him back. It was clear that this is something that was really important to him that he tried to respect and maintain, whether it's amongst his family, amongst someone he's seeing or his friends. And this seems to be like a term that he's used. I like to respect people's peace.
No, he doesn't. He hit her up with a booty call. Like, keep your distance, dude. That's such bullshit. He knew what he was doing. He knew he was kind of disrupting things. Get out of here. I mean, she's a grown-ass woman. She made her own decisions. It's not all on him, but it's annoying. It's like he knew that she liked him more than he liked her, and he did it anyway.
I do think the booty call and then block the number is a bold move.
Oh my God. And then he blocks her number. Like, what are we, 12?
She has to use a friend's phone to get in touch with him. I haven't heard that shit in years.
I know that feeling. It really sucks when you can't have the last word and someone cuts you off. It just feels so unfair and feels so unfinished, but she didn't have to apologize to that guy. It's like, what do you have to apologize for?
No, but she may have wanted to, just to be like, I don't want any bad blood out there.
Yeah, but someone who's going to block you and not give you the chance to have that mature conversation doesn't deserve that. It's petty. I just think she's putting too much energy towards him. She should just kind of rein it back in for herself. On to the next, Chanel. On to the next.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Dev is an accountant from London. He took a brief hiatus from dating last year, but he entered 2020 with a new perspective.
I started this year with a new desire to try and meet someone and take it a bit more seriously because I hadn't been for a few years. And I consciously chose not to date last year. Started some new hobbies. I started salsa dancing to consciously pause dating. But I decided to kind of actively try and meet someone and felt like I knew what I was looking for. So I met this person from Hinge in February. We went on a couple of dates. It was great. We managed to squeeze in a third date just before lockdown was brought in the UK, and then quite naturally moved on to video calls. Averaged one a week for 9 weeks or so. It was quite hard because it was only three dates in. I didn't really know how to play it, whether I was being too keen or not. Are we talking for too long? But it was a weird time for everyone. So I just put that down to it's coronavirus. No one knows how to deal with this.
They didn't let their chemistry fizzle out and were able to reunite weeks later.
We were able to meet up about 9 weeks in and we went on a picnic. It was great. So actually we started dating properly from that point forward. I kind of went into it this year thinking if I do meet someone that I think there's some potential with, I want to give it a full shot. So I jumped in with both feet, deleted all the apps. I'm really committed.
Committing without hesitation. That's what we'd like to hear. Their relationship took off in some big ways.
We started making more and more plans for the next few months. One of those was her 30th birthday. She hosted something at her place, which included inviting her parents and her family. I felt a little bit nervous about meeting her family, but I said, okay, let's just go for it. What's the worst that could happen? It was at that birthday where someone asked who I was. And before I had a chance to answer the girl I was seeing, she said, oh, this is my boyfriend, which was fine. I was happy about it. And we also planned a trip to Athens in Greece. I had some time off work, so I thought, why don't we try and plan something together? And we had an amazing trip. We went out to eat, went to the beach, which was amazing. I knew that the trip was a big test. I'm quite particular about what I like to do on holidays. I thought this could make or break whether we could live with each other and survive, because if we just don't get on and don't want to do the same things at all, that could be really difficult.
They had a great time, but those are some big steps for a new relationship. And Dev was having some concerns.
In the weeks running up to that trip, I had some concerns about the communication. I'd send her a message and she wouldn't respond for a day. And I found that a bit unusual, but I didn't want to bring it up before the trip. So I waited till we got back, and then I just had an honest conversation with her. I said, I need conversational communication when we're apart, because we're apart most of the time. And she took that really well, and she acknowledged that she wasn't responding to messages that quickly. For her, she just felt quite relaxed and didn't feel that she needed to.
That wasn't all.
I think the other thing that was playing on my mind was that I'd planned this trip to Athens. She has a food allergy, so I'm always planning restaurants that she can go to. And I'd come up with lots of ideas and planned ahead. And I hadn't received much in return. In fairness, she had done some as well, but that involved her friends or her family being there as well. So it wasn't necessarily for me. The other factor that's important for me is communication about sex. I'm quite open and I like to talk about it even when we're apart. And I sort of tried to test the waters with that a couple of times, but that never really worked. So I started having some doubts because I wasn't really seeing much effort, unfortunately.
They just couldn't get on the same page.
I decided the next time I'd see her that I'd have this conversation with her. At the back of my mind, I kind of went into it thinking that it could be a breakup conversation. I just asked her, you know, can we talk about where we are and compatibility and what's important to each of us? And I explained that one of my needs is feeling some reciprocation for making effort, and that my sense was that she was very laid back and maybe that we just differ, and that's not a judgment on her. I mentioned the communication about sex, and she said that she's had bad experiences with guys and texting about sex, so she just doesn't like it. Again, I can't judge her for that. We're just different. So it was quite a tough conversation. And so I said to her, if you want to discuss whether there's a way to meet in the middle, I know there's things that I can work on as well. And she said that she wasn't going to try to persuade me. She just said, I don't have anything to say. And I think this maybe goes back to her communication style. I don't think she really is very open when it comes to things like this.
It's not the happy ending we were hoping for, but Dev is content with his decision.
I feel okay. I tried my best and I jumped in with both feet and I committed and I gave it my best shot. And I communicated what's important to me. And I knew that I'd be unhappy if I didn't address that. And she would be unhappy as well in the future. And it was better to call it off earlier.
I think I'm kind of in love with Dev.
He sounds really cute. He sounds like he has his shit together. He sounds like he's interested in starting a relationship. Like, he's there. And as he's talking about his experience with this girl, even though it didn't work out, he had a really mature perspective. But he also was able to, like, communicate his feelings in a really rational, logical way. And he didn't rule out the opportunity. He wanted to talk to her about the opportunity. She, on the other hand, didn't seem like she really gave a shit. Like, I kind of felt bad for the guy.
I didn't get the sense she was about him. I just don't think she's as type A as he is.
I know. Maybe that's why I'm attracted to him.
I have friends who are like this. Like, they have their life planned out. They know what they want to do. When they go on vacation, it's like, we got to hit this restaurant. We're going to do that. And then, like, you throw a partner in the mix. When you're type A and very conscious and very intentional, you're going to make plans around that person. And he was very specific about that. I could see the need to want to feel some of that energy back.
Sometimes. I actually do think a trip to IKEA or a trip abroad is a good litmus test as to whether or not the relationship is really going to stand the test of time.
And not just the marketplace, by the way. You got to walk through the full store. You can't just get the Swedish meatballs and pick up some hangers. Like, this is we need to get a serious piece of furniture here and wean through all the options.
Right. 100%. I had a relationship like this a few years ago. Every time we went to IKEA, he had a major meltdown. And the one time we flew abroad, he basically left our passports in a taxi. And I'm like, you know what? This isn't going to last the long haul. So I firmly believe, like, if you guys aren't on the same page about how you run your vacation, probably not a good sign.
But it was kind of beyond like travel companions. He's taking her life, her needs into consideration, and she's not doing the same for him.
And that's a compatibility thing. It's not just about the travel. I think that's what he started to learn very quickly, is that his thoughtfulness, how he showed affection, his generosity, his ability to care, that may be something he wants in return in his life too. And he just wasn't feeling it. It wasn't reciprocated.
Well, wait. Let's go back for a second, because she introduced him to her family. So that's a show of interest and seriousness.
It is, but it was, hey, it's my 30th birthday party. So it wasn't like a direct, I want you to meet my parents. It was actually out of convenience.
She introduced him as her boyfriend, but people were asking him who he is. So there was no preamble before the party to the friends of like, hey, this guy Dev, who I've been seeing and really interested, I like, he's going to be at the party, can't wait for you to meet him. I would think I would have two conflicting thoughts. I would think to myself, wow, this is a great sign, but simultaneously be like, how do these people not know who I am? I think if you're seeing someone consistently for 2 months, you're mentioning it to your family.
I do too. However, that hits kind of the third pillar of issues for Dev here, which is communication.
Right.
So like communication also may be an issue in just how she is intentional about communicating what's going on in her life, what she needs, and how she feels about someone.
I actually appreciate the fact that he's communicating his feelings. He's giving it a shot. And he comes to the conclusion, she's not going to change. It's not who she is. It's not what I want. And then it's fine. And we're done. But I like this story because it's a very mature process. And Dev, if you need an alpha that's going to plan a vacation and talk about their feelings, you just let me know.
Eric is a filmmaker on the East Coast. He's successful, outgoing, and recently met someone he's excited about.
I think all young people during a pandemic were on the app, so I was on Bumble, and we just started chatting, and then it led to, do you want to just jump on a call? I'm like, hey, do you want to just FaceTime, and you can see me and not feel like there's any catfishing going on? And it's a little bit of me wanting to make sure that's a real person, but a few people that I started talking to were like, I'd rather just text, or let's just meet up, and I'm like, I feel uncomfortable. I'm like, I don't want to meet up with you. I don't even know what you look like, really. So we started FaceTiming and conversations were going great. And it was nice to meet someone who's of similar age and super independent and got her own thing going on.
Soon to be doctor, he was impressed. She's a resident and is looking for her next full-time position, which means the possibility of leaving town.
We were FaceTiming for 2 weeks. But we're both in that stage of our lives where we're not fucking around anymore. And then a conversation just kind of like progressed into, you know, she was just getting back from another state, like halfway across the country for interviews about full-time position. Then it got into this like deep chat for 2 hours, which we had no business talking about, of just like, you should maybe consider here, you know, Philadelphia.
Pump the brakes, dude. You haven't even had your first date yet. So how did she react? Let's just say, not great.
Basically, I had the audacity to ask her to consider Philadelphia, and her family lives in Texas. She was like, I'm going. Like, I'm en route here. You can't just, like, come in and suggest that I reconsider it. I'm like, but then technically, what are we doing for this last 2 weeks? So I'm sitting here like, well, you're not taking the job until August of next year. Let's just pretend it were something serious. It would be a different conversation because I'm not here messing around, nor are you. And so, you know, how different is the conversation? I just wanted her to seem like it's not just her lane, like she's thinking about someone else. I'm like, hey, I've got 150 relatives in a 5-mile radius. I have a deep network in this town that I've built over my entire life and tons of great friends. I'm like, I'm doing okay. You're going to be doing okay. You combine that together, that's a nice life.
That can be a lot for someone so early. But for Eric, it made sense.
You know, we definitely have different dating paths. I dated someone long distance for 2 years, so I felt really comfortable digging in quickly. For me, that was very organic and natural, but I think for her, it was a little heavy.
But don't worry, that didn't scare her away.
We went on the date and there definitely was already like a connection. I wasn't expecting her to be affectionate, but she was. And maybe it was kind of like the conversation got so heated and she was just excited to be on the date. We hung out for like 8 hours, walked around at the farmer's market. It was great.
Their first date went really well, and she may have even had a small change of heart. The topic about their future together came up again.
She brought it up and said that she should be more open to considering what's going on around here. And I was just like, done. No, don't say anything. I don't need to say anything. Like, we don't even have to talk about it. Just thank you. I'm like, walk before run. I am very happy with that.
That was all Eric needed to hear. For now, he's happy getting to know her and is excited about the possibility.
It's actually kind of nice, too, because we've both established that we like our own space. Like, her whole week is like 12, 12, 12, and then a 24 day off and then another 24. So I'm learning how insane that is for someone. And, you know, when they get home, how do they want to allocate their time? Like, she's going for her boards for another specialty in 2 months. So she's, you know, giving me that time that she should either be studying or working out or shopping or whatever she wants to do to maintain her lifestyle. And I really appreciate that. As I get older, I'm realizing, particularly during a pandemic maybe, that the dependency is not as attractive as I thought it was. I like being able to do all the chivalry things, but I'm realizing what's so attractive is to know that she's got her own lane going and is self-sufficient. And I'm happy to be parallel with you throughout that.
Eric is a little intense.
People are trying to cement relationships quickly.
So he's talking to this girl on a dating app, and they're just talking over FaceTime.
He's like, no, I want to see you. I don't want to just be texting. He doesn't want to be catfished.
Or he didn't want her to feel like she was being catfished, which is nice. He's just moving things forward. He's moving the ball down the field. I like that. He knows what he wants. And it's very clear that he has a whole life set up for himself where he lives. She's still in a transitional period. And he throws it out to her to consider Philadelphia. Now, if he had said something like, is there a reason why you're not considering Philadelphia as a question? I think that that's acceptable. But he was like, I think that you should really consider Philadelphia. That's a little bizarre. She clearly was super offended by that conversation.
What point is too fast? Even if he asked the question, are you considering Philadelphia? Based on what we know, the answer is probably no. You're kind of killing the possibility of a relationship, which we know Eric is looking for.
But they haven't even met in person yet. He's kind of eliminating this really exploratory phase and is just like, where are you going to be in 3 years?
But there's a level of if you want to get serious, wanting to know what the person's intentions are. He had told us that at least it became clear to him that both of them were looking for more serious things. I just think he's not looking to wait. To me, that's kind of how he's approaching this is, you know, I know we haven't met in person, but I at least love our conversations. We're talking all the time. I want to know if you're actually interested in staying in the Philadelphia area or not.
I mean, this guy is definitely really confident and comfortable with who he is, what his life is, what his future looks like. That's all great. But I would hate for him to lose out on someone because there's a level of intensity that he's bringing that's very much channeled from his own ambitions and not factoring in someone else's. He's riding on his own energy. He's not evaluating hers at all.
Sure. But sometimes when a spark is there, Eric may have felt something and he went for it. He wanted to see how she would respond. That may feel intense to us and it may have felt intense to her, but they're still talking.
Eric's got to do what's right for him, but he could be rushing the ball a little bit too quickly because of his own assessment of his needs and time. people may take a little bit longer. So minor hiccup, Ben, that conversation happens. They meet in person. The date goes really, really well.
Yeah, and I think it's because ultimately they both do want the same thing.
Right. They are rooted in the same thing.
I think there might have been an initial freak out based on the timing of things. I don't disagree with that. Yeah, there might be some bumps in the road. And this is a bump.
Yeah, I mean, this is someone that knows exactly what they want and their future is unwritten, but it's trending positively. And seems like she had a little bit of a change of heart once she had some time to get to know him.
I'm glad that they were able to reset and kind of both give a little bit to find a middle ground, something that they both felt comfortable with.
That's a wrap.
We'll be working on bringing you guys season 3. So in the meantime, continue to share your stories with us.
Yep, you know where to find us. Email us at datingdiariespod@gmail.com and message us on social at datingdiariesqc. I can't wait to check in with you all very soon. Have fun and stay safe out there, guys. This podcast is hosted and executive produced by me, Andrea Gunning. Executive produced by Nancy Glass, Ben Fetterman, and Carrie Hartman. Produced by Julie Clark and Brianna Fars. Edited by Matt Delvecchio. Thanks to production coordinator Megan Paisley. The show is mixed by Dave Saya. Special thanks to Myb Music. Some names have been changed to protect privacy.